So, six senses leads us to name and form. What exactly is name and form?
Yeah, well, again, it gets interesting here. There's a transition point here, I think, because what we're doing here is we're moving out of the sensory world. We're going beyond the senses here. So what is the cause of having senses is we kind of get into Platonic realms here. The fact that we're able to perceive certain things as such. So it's all very well being able to see, but you know, unless you're able to kind of distinguish between the things that you're seeing, then
yeah.
Are you really seeing? You know, you've just got eyes in that case.
You need something else to be included, yeah.
Yeah, so name and form kind of takes us into that sort of Platonic kind of Kantian space beyond the senses, the things that shape what we can sense. So in order to be able to see a thing as a thing, it has to have some sort of form that we can recognise. You know, so to be able to see a table, you have to have a concept of what constitutes a table. And also another thing that's very handy is having a name for it.
Yeah. So would it be like concept and actual manifestation? So like idea of a coffee cup, but this is the actual coffee cup. Is that the name and form kind of thing of it? That it has both these qualities?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What it's name and form is the thing that enables us to perceive things as such. Yeah.
Including, I suppose, Dave, being that it's leading into the sixth sense, is that we also have to have a name and form, in that we have to have the body and we have to have psyche or mind or whatever it is, that it's that our consciousness or all the other things that come next, that it's that's the relationship for. So it's come back to the example we had earlier, I suppose, that when we're talking about the eye, you need something to see, you need the eye and you need the thing that's processing it, that needs the combination of these three things in order to have it. So by having the six senses, you need the name and form of the thing you're looking at, and also your thing in order to do it.
So, you know, ideas we might throw out here are like, you know, Plato's ideas of the forms, Kant's categories. What else is there? Jung's archetypes, maybe. You know, this idea is something beyond the senses that structures what is sensorily available to us.
So, I mean, I suppose, from a Buddhist point of view, there wouldn't be the kind of, you know, in the Platonic sense of, an ideal table or whatever. That's how we recognize tables or whatever. What would the Buddhist view of a table be? Like the form and thing is just that the utility of it, or it's the emergence of it, or?
Well, this is it. This is it in this card. You know, it's a name and it's a form. That's it.
What's the traditional image of this that we ignored, Duncan? The Vega Road.
Well, we didn't ignore it too much. So the traditional form is two men in a boat. So you got this kind of idea of water, you know, as this amorphous kind of realm, you know, that's tricky to navigate. And you know, these two guys are attempting to do that in a boat. You know, presumably the two people represent name and form.
All right, yeah. No, never registered me how silly I am. But there's another thing I've seen, like that these things are there, and then you subsequently discover why they're there. Because we also have two characters. One's called Name and one's Form. But ours are outside the boat, and they're pushing the boat through our desert landscape.
Well, we were committed to a desert by this stage, weren't we? So there wasn't going to be an ocean involved.
Although I think it might have been funny to have a little small pond too, that they're just sitting bobbing along in the middle of it. But I like the kind of there's a hard nose to it. There's an effort involved in having in this enterprise. You know what I mean? Like it's a deliberate act of, you know, there's volition, I suppose, in it. And depending, I suppose, on the outcome or your view of it, I suppose, it's something that you know, can they be successful in this? Is it both possible? I suppose it is possible depending on the size of the desert, but there's something ambiguous about the whole thing, which I think in the original image is that's the water. That's, you know, it could go anywhere. It's approaching it from a very different angle. It's almost in a, I suppose, in a bordering on absurdism, you know, or something like that. That it's just this is a bit strange, you know. But yet, still is named for me, so we still understand what it is. A boat in the desert to us is still a boat, even though it's out of its context, you know. So it's still pointing to what the notion is, you know, that we understand what it is, or we can project onto what it is or whatever it is. For someone else, possibly, it's just a piece of wood and two highly evolved apes trying to something.
I think here, as in the original, there's a sense of some kind of adventure that's probably impossible. It's probably improbable. They're pushing this boat up a sand dune. They're trying to get somewhere. The means at their disposal of getting somewhere are totally inadequate. And yet, you know, here they are and they're dealing with it as best they can. You know, and this idea of name and form, you know, their handles that give us some capacity to make sense of the world, you know, a sense that maybe not perfect, but perhaps, you know, they enable us to get somewhere. I mean, the thing that fascinated me about this image, Tommy, as well, was the idea of a father and a daughter.
Yeah, yeah. That is another thing that just happened. That's kind of like when I was drawing them. Yeah. Oh, this is what this is. Oh, I love when that happens, but why do you think there's a father and a daughter? What's your thought?
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder whether there's something there about name and form.
Name being the dad and form being the daughter. Yeah.
That's what comes to my mind, yeah. So in terms of meanings in divinations, you know, getting a handle on things, finding your bearings.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing situations, you know, finding a way to get into them and to be able to negotiate with them.
Conceptual dexterity, like being able to see things, be able to look at things, have an idea of things.
Grasping things, understanding things. Yeah.
But I mean, they all kind of bleed into each other. That's what kind of, it's why they're, in a sense, I suppose, hard to explain. But the beauty of them is that it's all interconnected, that it's all, you know, there's no strict delineation between each of them. They all bleed into each other, particularly, you know, those around it. So there is going to be overlap and stuff, which is wonderful, you know. It allows for to see the connection in things, you know. You know, if it was strict, just means that, and then the next one, you know, isn't hazy. It just is it, you know, the next thing. I think it would be less insightful in some way. So what would the reverse then be? What's the negative side of this, or the bad side?
Lost at sea, you know, bobbing around in an ocean of uncertainty, confusion.
Yeah, feeling out of your depth, not understanding.
Yeah. But also, you know, it can swing in the opposite direction, maybe putting too much reliance on words rather than, you know, the things they're intended to represent, you know, getting lost in jargon or technical, you know, messing around.
Because like being a stickler for the meaning of words, rather than like when people say literally and go, well, actually, it's figuratively is what you mean. That kind of pedanticness, I suppose, is it?
Yeah. Definitely.